Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Tuesday, a joyful Tuesday in Los Angeles, live. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. I have so much news, I can't even announce some of the good news today. Maybe later in the show. Joy Taylor's joining me. I have so many secrets that are about to be non-secrets. Maybe we'll announce them during the show today.
Like personal secrets?
No. These are robust, dynamic industry secrets.
Sports secrets. Oh.
How's that for an open? You can't go anywhere.
Nope. It was unexpected. Can't wait.
So I have been a little obnoxious with the Clippers. A little. Now, I go to Utah a lot. I like Utah. It's a great organization. But I said when the Clippers were down 0-2, I said the Clippers are going to win this series, and I feel it's over now. Even though it's tied at 2-2. So I'm just going to keep up this obnoxiousness. Ask yourself this. What's a friend? Define a true friend. I'm not talking about I love golfing with her. Or the boys go to Vegas, pate. No, a true friend is your kid gets in a car wreck. You need transportation. Take him to the hospital. You're sick. There's a crisis in your family. Who do you call? Who is the first person you think of? That's an ally. That's a friend. In professional sports, we have training staffs for emergencies like that. But when we rank great players, I always have a similar question. Game 7. NBA Finals, tie game, 7 left. Who's your guy? My guy, now that LeBron is out of his prime, is often Kawhi Leonard. The NBA media and fans, they love their Westbrooks, John Walls, Derrick Roses. Some of those guys I don't want in the arena. Game 7, 7 minutes left, tied. Kawhi Leonard or Giannis? You don't want Giannis. Can't hit a free throw. Embiid or KD or Kawhi. Those guys are rarely healthy, increasingly for an entire series. Kyrie or Harden, they play no defense. They'll score and give it up on the other end. LeBron in his prime and Kawhi, and I've said this before, I'm not sure there's a better choice. He can get you a stop. He's as good an on-ball defender as the league has. He's as good a get-a-bucket guy as the league has, except maybe KD. When the game starts, and don't get me wrong, he'll miss his 20 load management games a year, but when the game starts, Kawhi never seems to get hurt in-game. He finishes it. On-ball defender. He's unaffected. He's got a unique personality. I'm not sure he hears, reads any of the criticism. He's unaffected. He's been in multiple big games. Jokic hasn't. Even Chris Paul, who I admire and love, has some holes in his game. He's small. He's no longer an elite defender. And let's be honest, Chris Paul's greatest strength, and he's got a lot of them, is really getting somebody else a great shot. Kawhi Leonard can guard anybody. Remember that series, Toronto-Milwaukee, where he guarded Giannis and marginalized him, took him out of the series. He can guard a point guard, a 2, a 3, a 4. Only LeBron over the last 10 years, you could say that. LeBron could guard Derrick Rose in his prime, in his MVP year. LeBron could guard a 4. If you'd never seen Michael Jordan play, you'd never seen, YouTube didn't exist, Google didn't exist, no search engines, you'd never seen Michael play, and I had to describe Michael to you, I would say he had the athletic ability and the flair of Kobe and the efficiency of this guy named Kawhi Leonard. He had the Kobe personality and the Kobe flair, but the strength and efficiency of Kawhi Leonard. It's the age-old question. Who do you want in the foxhole? You ever see that movie, Platoon? Remember that movie Platoon? Charlie Sheen, Tom Berenger, I think. And you're watching that whole thing, and there's these deep discussions as you're sitting in the foxhole. And there's fear and there's anxiety. But there were two or three people in that movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. There were two or three guys. You're like, oh, that guy could get hit by a – I want that guy in the foxhole. That's the guy I want in the foxhole. And that's what the NBA playoffs are. Can make a stop. Can make a play. Unaffected. Finish games. Wobble around. Up against the ropes. Finish the fight and win it. I've seen Kawhi do it in San Antonio. I've seen him do it in Toronto. And I'm watching him do it in this series. Even among all-time greats. The tie game, 7 minute left question. Magic, Bird, and Barkley. Not great defenders. Could be a liability there. Duncan, Shaq, don't want him near the free throw line. You get in very rarefied air when you talk about 7 minutes left, game seven, who do you want both ends? It's like Michael, LeBron in his peak, Kawhi, and then you can throw some others in there. He's also got a very unique personality. I mean, one of the things about Michael was he appeared to be better in crisis. Despite what the critics have said, LeBron is generally, he really is, better in crisis. You can't say that for a lot of stars. A lot of guys melt. Kawhi's got a unique personality. I don't think he reads the criticism. I really don't. He doesn't even have an agent. He's not in that cycle of information and rumors and gossip. He's got Uncle Dennis. He's just a baller. But you start looking around in that age-old foxhole question, just not a lot of guys. He'll hit a free throw. He'll hit a jumper. He'll make a stop. He'll guard anybody. He's not affected by pressure. The game starts. He'll finish it. Kawhi Leonard. And that's why I think the series is over. Because if you have that kind of guy, they end up with a lot of trophies. Okay, a crazy series. It was really, at times, awful basketball. Philadelphia, Atlanta. We know Atlanta's not a great team. We know Atlanta has a fledgling star in Trae Young. We know that. But we know a lot about Philadelphia, too, because we've seen this over and over. At the end of the game last night for the Sixers, Shake Milton was bringing the ball up. Well, what about Ben Simmons? No, he was on the bench. What? Yeah, they would not play Ben Simmons in the last possession. We've all known for years Embiid Simmons. We're media people. We take sides. I was initially a Simmons guy because Embiid's always hurt. And when bigs get hurt early, they get hurt often. But it's beyond that. Last night, on the biggest stage, as big a game as the Sixers have had in years, and we've all talked about their issues, and Philadelphia keeps denying their issues, and now they got a new GM and a new coach, and Doc and Daryl Morey, and oh, it's all good, it's great. Yes, they have great moments. But on the biggest stage, Embiid was hurt, and Simmons did not take a shot in the fourth quarter because he would then be fouled and terrified to go to the free throw line. We have got to, you know what they always say, the first way to solve a problem is admit a problem. And the problem in the NBA is if you have an issue, the rule in the NBA is keep it really quiet and trade it away before anybody knows about it because you'll lose your leverage. But in Philadelphia's case, they've been denying it and denying it and denying it and denying it. And now Ben Simmons over the next 4 years is going to make, what, 32, 35, 38, and 40 million. Good luck getting rid of that contract and making a great deal because everybody is now watching him deteriorate. Like, this is something we have been on this show for 2 years. In the NBA, when you've got a problem, find it. Keep it quiet and make a move because now it's on the biggest stage. Now GMs are watching Ben Simmons and like $35 million a year. You can't have him on the floor. He won't take a shot. And then you look at Embiid, who's a marvelous player. He's hurt again. So, you know, the NBA has always been a great story league and a star league and a gossip league and a rumor league. What you want to do 3 years ago is when they were both at their height and there was speculation and people like me and talk show hosts and media going, I'm a Simmons guy and I'm an Embiid guy. What we were really saying is they both had value. We were all arguing over it. You were Embiid, I was Simmons, but they both had value. After last night, one guy can't jump, he's hurt. One guy can't be on the floor in the fourth. What's the value? And they're both mega expensive. I mean, Doc Rivers is over it officially. Here he was after the loss.
We stopped passing. I thought that we started the game off that way. Then we got back in the ball movement. Then we went back to hero basketball. You know, basically everybody wanted to be the hero instead of just trusting the team, trusting each other. So you, when you do that, you usually lose, especially when the other team outworks you the whole game. And that's what they did today.
Doc was like this marriage counselor. And after about 12 sessions, he's like, all right, I can't fix you guys. I'm done with it. Like, Doc's done with it. This should have been addressed years ago. It wasn't. And now, on the biggest stage, every GM, everybody can see it. Ben Simmons did not take a shot in the fourth quarter. $32 million a year? My point guard? Shake Milton's on the floor? Not great.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Twitter is much like alcohol. It eventually unveils the truth. Jerks are bigger jerks when they're drunk. Sweet people are even sweeter when they've had one martini too many. Twitter's the same thing. Dumb people look really dumb on Twitter. Smart people, clever people, funny people are even better. Kevin Durant on Twitter is impulsive. Two or three times he's done something he had to apologize for, he's regretted. LeBron is very calculated. His critics will tell you it's always like he jumps right on the wave and rides it home and gets tweets. Twitter tells you a lot about LeBron and KD as people. One, KD is very impulsive, sometimes can't control it. LeBron is very measured and calculated. So I am not going to judge Kevin Durant on this series with Milwaukee. Kevin Durant's one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen. He's absolutely top five offensive player I've ever seen. He's all-time talent. It's ridiculous to dispute any of that. But he is impulsive, and his issues are self-inflicted. Let's not judge him on tonight. No single person can win. It's not fair. LeBron got to a finals once when the NBA wasn't nearly as good. It has more talent now than it's ever had, but he got swept by the Spurs, who had more good players. Let's not judge KD on this series. It's just unfair. Let's look at their mobility between the two. I am pro mobility, so is Joy Taylor. But that doesn't mean all mobility is equal. Look at LeBron's moves and how calculated they've been. He's in Cleveland for years. He takes the second extension, makes his money. Then he goes to Miami. Great winning culture. Pat Riley. A place that attracts stars. Had titles. Very dependable anchor in D-Wade. Smart, dependable guy. It's a really smart move. And then they go get really smart Chris Bosh. I mean, literally, it was one of the smartest teams in league history. Then they surround it with, like, Shane Battier and Ray Allen. LeBron had this thing all measured out, all thought out. It was so smart, so calculated. The East was just waiting to be dominated as the good teams were getting old. He swoops in with D-Wade and Bosh, and for 4 years, I mean, it wasn't even competitive in the East, really. And then he goes to Cleveland. Well, that was also calculated and measured. They had Kyrie Irving, an emerging star, and the number one pick. And he wanted to go home and end this whole villain thing. And he goes to Cleveland and he wins. But the whole time LeBron knows, if I win, I'm not staying here. Then he goes to Los Angeles. Again, it's very smart. First of all, it's the mogul stage. Los Angeles, he had meetings with billionaires set up before he got off the plane. But they also had a roster full of young guys they could get rid of. Clutch Sports was representing Anthony Davis, and LeBron and Anthony had talked he was going to come here. And by the way, it's worked out well. From business to winning, LeBron is so calculated and so measured. Now let's go to KD. He's not happy in OKC. I got it. I thought the organization made a mistake. They embraced Westbrook, not KD. I got it. But he chooses Golden State, a team that didn't really need him. They just won before him. And it was a team that just beat you in the playoffs. So it looked like you were dumping your girlfriend for the prettier girlfriend. It was like, it didn't really play optically very well. And it was Steph's team. It's Steph's city. I mean, Steph Curry is the biggest star in the city. And I mean the city. Politicians, NFL, it's Steph's town. It's always going to be Steph's town. And then eventually he doesn't like that. He doesn't feel like he's the man, and he wins. And then he goes to Brooklyn with no history. Nobody cares about him. There were other places to go, and he goes with Kyrie Irving, who has shown in multiple instances, physically he's a little brittle, and he can be a little bit of an erratic guy. And so this morning, as I get ready to watch the Nets and the Bucks, LeBron James has a title. Business is on fire in Los Angeles. Anthony Davis and LeBron will get their longest offseason. And the West next year will be here for the taking. It will be. The Warriors are not as good. Dallas doesn't have a number two. Either does Dame. And the Nets. And KD is kind of a little drowning here. It's Harden's hurt. A story today, they'll test his hammy. Kyrie's out, probably for the series. One is measured and calculated, LeBron. One is impulsive. And this is what happens when you're impulsive. You end up in Brooklyn with teammates that are physically and emotionally not always there for you. But it doesn't make me think less of Kevin Durant as a person. Not everybody's the same. But years and years ago, people started saying KD better than LeBron. And I was like, first of all, LeBron is the physical and emotional rock of this league for 15 years. The rock. Never hurt for 15 years. Very smart and calculated. KD is just otherworldly gifted. But when I look at the situation he's in, it's a situation he's been in two or three times, kind of scrambling now. Can't depend on this, can't depend on that. So whenever you talk about KD and LeBron, just remember, Twitter-like alcohol unveils the truth. One is measured, one is impulsive, and once again in their career, they have earned their spot. They're in either a great spot or a dilemma created by them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Aaron Rodgers, by the way, there's always a message with Aaron Rodgers. He's hosting a press conference right now. You know, he's in that, Bryson DeChambeau, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson are doing that celebrity golf thing. And Aaron's holding a press conference today wearing a shirt saying, "I'm offended." There's always a message with Aaron. It's passive aggressive. There's always a message. But James Jones was saying, let's not read too much into these comments by Mark Murphy about Aaron's a complicated fella. Here is former Packer James Jones.
Listen, I have a very good relationship with Mark Murphy. If you have a relationship with Aaron Rodgers, no, he's not a complicated fella. And that's what anything. You are talking about the future of a Hall of Fame quarterback's career. Yeah, it's going to be complicated. He wants some things, you want some things. So when you do have a relationship with him, no, it is not complicated. Well, so get together, get a relationship with Aaron Rodgers like I have one, and get this thing together, get it fixed.
Well, James, you weren't a franchise quarterback, and you're not prickly, and you're not a guy that has had dust-ups with multiple people. Just, you know, all these days, the last three times I've talked about Aaron, I've taken Aaron's side. So today is pro-Packers side. Let's not frame it like it's easy to have a relationship with Aaron Rodgers. He's had dust-ups public. This is not my opinion. With family, multiple family members. He's had dust up with teammates, multiple teammates. He didn't get along with his last coach. He's now fighting with his front office. He used to, when he played on Monday Night Football and you announced where you went to college, he wouldn't give Cal the benefit of the doubt. He would go Butte Junior College because he was mad at Cal. Aaron gets mad at people all the time. A coach, the front office, Cal Berkeley Bears, his brother. Let's not make this out to be Aaron is so easy to get along with, and the Packers are just evil people. By the way, 99.9% of players who have ever played for the Packers rave about the organization. I've had multiple players tell me Green Bay, knowing that it's a small town, not much to do, treats its players better than any organization in the NFL. They will iron your underwear. They'll do everything. They treat you like gold. The two people they've struggled with, Brett Favre, who, by the way, we have noticed since he left, can be difficult to deal with, and Aaron Rodgers, who has a history of being calculated and difficult to deal with. Now, he's a star quarterback. Star quarterback in management, you know, it's not always great, right? Like, so I'm not banging on Aaron. Is that it's these star quarterbacks now, they deserve some love. They are the franchise. They are the ones that carry franchises to Super Bowls. But, you know, we got to be careful about framing the Aaron's easy. He's not easy. We've got multiple instances public. These aren't even like, I'm not trying to reach for stuff. Brother, parents, teammates, coaches. Now he's holding a press conference today with an I'm offended t-shirt on. You can read into that what you want to read into that. But and maybe this is all a game for Aaron. He's playing with it. He thinks it's funny and it all just entertains him. But let's be careful about, hey, just go have a relationship with Aaron and it'll all be fine. James Jones is easier to have a relationship with than with Aaron Rodgers. And I, you know, Aaron is, and I think I've had people, multiple people that know Aaron, I don't, say he'll ghost you. Like if he doesn't think you have his back all the time, he'll ghost you. Like he's over. It's over. You and him are over. So he's not easy. He's difficult. Now, some people are difficult. That's okay. I think KD is more impulsive than LeBron James, who's more calculated. But you know, the framing of this story is getting a little silly where like Aaron is on the right and the Packers are difficult. We know if you have any sources within this league, if you do what I do or Joy does for a living, you ask people who play for the Packers, that community, that organization, they know their limitations. They know they're a small market. They know it's kind of corny. Like they know what they are. They treat players with so much love. They go the extra mile. They do a great job of coaching them, developing them, supporting them. They'll let you, you know, they'll try to get you work locally, radio, TV, car dealers. They'll do anything they can for you. So this is a really good organization that with Favre and Aaron Rodgers, it's gotten a little murky at the end. But Favre and Aaron are not easy, okay? They're not easy. So nor is the quarterback position in management an easy relationship to manage these days. It's harder and harder. Deshaun Watson's mad. Carson Wentz wanted out. Matt Stafford, get me out of here. Russell Wilson was ticked. Aaron's not happy. So this stuff is, some of it's predictable, some of it's not. But we got to make sure here we're at least fair about it, which is, Aaron can be difficult. I mean, today he's holding a press conference and he's wearing a t-shirt saying, I'm offended. He's just begging to be asked questions. I mean, isn't he?
Yeah, but that's what Aaron does. He's just, it's passive aggressive.
That wearing a t-shirt is the definition of passive aggressive.
Like he knows, he's very aware that if he wears a shirt that says that.
So we're going to talk about him for the next 3 days and we're going to ask. And then he's going to rip us for speculating what it means.
Well, if he was literally offended, would you wear a shirt that said you were offended? Like, who does that?
Yeah.
No one would do that.
At this point, Aaron is doing things to poke the bear. Like, he could have gone to Hawaii with celebrities and not put it on social media. By the way, celebrities in her are in Hawaii constantly.
Yeah, and he has every right to do that.
I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to do it, but it was a poke. Having a great time, playing the ukulele. It was a poke. The t-shirt he's wearing today, just a little poke. So he knows what he's doing.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Udonis Haslam has played in the NBA for 18 years. That is a long time. He has been on a lot of flights. That is a lot of wear and tear. That's a lot of bigs you have to guard. He's had four straight finals from 2011 to 2014, 14 playoff appearances in 18 years, oldest player in the NBA this season at 41 years old. but there's always value for smart players, hardworking guys, and Udonis Haslam, three-time champ, is now joining us live. First of all, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've watched you and admire you from afar for a long time. By the way, I don't know where you're at right now, but that looks like Miami behind you.
Oh, yeah, this is my sanctuary. This is where I come to get my peace when I get home.
Okay, I was going to say, there's peace to be had there, by the way. Congratulations. You know, Udonis, you have been in the NBA so long, you've been a part of rebuilding teams and championship teams, and you've played with egos, and you've played with selfless guys. You've seen everything. When you look at Brooklyn, and I looked at Harden, Kyrie, and KD, I say, boy, that thing was kind of thrown together. But it's funny, I didn't think the Miami team you were on with LeBron and Bosh, that never felt thrown together. Three smart guys, you were there, Riley was there. Go back to that first year when you have all these stars coming to town, Udonis. Was it better than you thought? Was it harder than you thought putting all these stars together very quickly in an off season?
It was harder than we thought. I mean, I think we all thought that we were going to come together and, you know, we were just going to make magic. But first and foremost, we all had to gain each other's respect. I mean, every day, Chris Bosh had to prove to me how good he really was. He wasn't on my team, so I didn't care. D-Wade and Bron would go at it. People didn't know D-Wade and Bron would go at it. I think the first maybe month and a half was just, you got to prove to me how good you really are because you ain't been here.
Wow. So when you look at the Brooklyn situation, when they didn't play together a lot, I was a cynic. I said, you can't win a championship. Chemistry it's hard in life, friends, marriages. Did you think Brooklyn was going to win this year, or did you have questions about just throwing dudes together?
I mean, I didn't know. I knew it was going to take time. I knew it was going to be a process, and the fact that they had a lot of injuries, I knew it would make it a little more difficult. But they're very talented basketball players, and you know, I think I felt like it could work. I felt like they had a good supporting cast. You know, I like Tyler Johnson. I like the dogs. I like the little guys that get out there and they're scrappy and do the little things and the things that might not show up on the box sheet. Jeff Green's a veteran like myself, so I like the mix of guys that they had, mix them with the stars that they had. If people remember that we had the big three, but we also had the little 12. We called ourselves guys like myself, Eddie House, Mike Miller. You need guys like that, and I think they had those kind of guys.
You know, it's interesting. So we'll pivot now to the 76ers, where Embiid and Simmons are hugely talented, but there's been talk. They're not close friends. Their games are kind of different. You know, Udonis, do you have to get along? Because there are reports that Simmons and Embiid, they're just not boys. Whatever, okay? Does it matter? Does friendship, hanging out, dinners, does it matter in your opinion, big picture?
You know, here it does. I think the way I like to lead, you know, I think I like to lead by bringing guys closer together, spending more time with guys, getting to understand guys off the basketball court. I think sometimes that's what's missing with a lot of these guys. You know, if you notice that we get a lot of guys that, you know, could be underdogs, you know, been in a lot of situations and could be on their way out of the league, and something is missing is not the talent. You know, a lot of these guys in this generation have amazing talent, way more talent than we ever had, but the things that are missing are the things that are off the basketball court. So I definitely think that's instrumental in building a championship the way we do it here. But if you look around in the past and, you know, maybe you think about, you know, what Mike did and what he was able to do. I don't know if he was taking guys out to dinner. Mike was telling you what to do, and you better do it. You better do it and get it done.
Yeah, no, I mean, Michael and Kobe could rub even teammates the wrong way. Miami's interesting because Jimmy Butler was a guy that in a couple of places did not get along with teammates. I didn't know if he'd work in Miami. It appeared to. But it is interesting because Jimmy's been in this league a while, and you got some Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero. You got some kids. I mean, those are young kids. And I do wonder, Udonis, is Jimmy's not a patient dude. Like, you're either going to commit or he's not going to wait around for you. Are you concerned a little bit about are you concerned
that's
about...
That's why guys like me, Colin, that's where I come in. I'm usually not the guy that smooth things out, but there are times where I have to smooth things out. And, we definitely have, we call it the dog pound. You know, we definitely got a lot of dogs here. And a lot of times, we smash heads and we disagree, but it's all for winning. But you know, with Jimmy, I don't think Jimmy's just misunderstood. You know what I'm saying? That's the most thing about it. Jimmy's just misunderstood. But here, we understand him perfectly. You know, we understand him perfectly, and we understand the standards that he sets, and we understand what he expects, and we strive to get those expectations out of everybody.
There were reports that your young players fell in love with Miami, and let's be honest, it is hard to get in trouble in Indiana. It's easy to have fun in Miami. Are there challenges in the city in which your franchise is based?
Of course it is. I mean, look at the city. You know, why? You think why I never left? You think why I never left? You know, I mean, ask Joy. I mean, her brother played. He was one of the greatest players of all time, by the way, Miami Dolphin. And I'm a Dolphin fan till I die. So everybody knows Miami is the greatest city in the world. Then they say that we got no tax. I don't know what that means because I feel like I'm always spending money. So something like that. But they say we got no state tax out here, but I feel like they always taking my money some kind of way out here, man.
Hey, so, live in California for a while, Udonis. Then you'll know what taxes are. I'll tell you that.
I listen to my friend Dwayne complain all the time about taxes in California. I hear that enough.
Okay. So you are a very verbal guy. You emote. You're a talker. By the way, LeBron can be like that. Jimmy can be like that. Kawhi Leonard, it's not verbal. And I've said this about him. Can you be a one and nonverbal? You can be great, but what do you make of Kawhi's personality where he's not overly verbal? He's not overly communicative. Would you struggle at all with that?
You know, I was Kawhi when I first got in the league. I didn't say much. You know, I was very, you know, to myself. You know, I was more of a shy, you know, person, if you could, you know, picture that. I didn't speak to Coach Riley, you know what I'm saying, for the first, like, 2.5 years that I was in Miami because he was riled and I was nervous. Probably the only person I've ever scared of and nervous and shook up with my life was Riley. So, I mean, I was Kawhi, and I had to evolve into the person and the leader that I am today. But I think everybody leads differently, and I think the one thing you have to do as a leader that you can't go back and forth on is understanding how to motivate your guys and understand that everybody's motivated differently. So just because Kawhi is not the most vocal person that we see on the basketball court doesn't mean that he doesn't spend time with these guys off the basketball court. Doesn't mean he's getting to understand these guys and know these guys' family and different things like that. And I definitely think things like that also impact winning.
Yeah. You know, you've had an amazing career. You've played with so many great players. I want you to go tell me about Dwayne Wade first couple years and Dwayne Wade at the end of his career, because you talk about how you changed as a person. I just remember watching him at Marquette, and I remember thinking, man, he's always on the floor. He's like a fullback. He's always falling. He's not going to last very long. I don't know how good of a shooter he is. And then he becomes an icon. You were there. You watched all of it. What did you know early? This kid's going to be an iconic all-time star.
Colin, he spent too much time in the dentist when he first got here. I didn't know what he was going to be. Dwayne's teeth was shot, man. When we first got here, man, we had to go to physicals. Dwayne had 18 cavities. I didn't know what kind of player Dwayne was going to be. I was like, man, this man is all over the place, man. But he ended up being a great basketball player. I think one thing that people didn't know about Dwayne is the player that he could be, because once again, we talk about quiet guys. Dwayne was so quiet. He didn't say much. It was almost like I call him Bruce Lee, because when he takes his own blood, he go crazy. If you ever see Dwayne when he plays a game of basketball, anytime somebody, because he think he's the prettiest person in the world, anytime somebody hit him in the face or busts his lip or anything like that is when he goes crazy. So I think Dwayne's personality, who he is off the basketball court, how quiet he is, how personable he is, how nice he is, I think people kind of got that conflicted with the kind of monster he could be when he stepped on the basketball court. And when he got on the basketball court, he's a completely different animal than the personality he portrayed off the court.
Yeah. So can you get, you know, LeBron is so big now. He's like a mogul. Did you feel a closeness to him? Could you get close to LeBron when he was there with you?
Yeah, I'm still close to LeBron. When we went out to play against the Lakers, LeBron and I went to dinner. And LeBron's my dog. I think we all built an unbreakable bond, you know, throughout that run. And we all speak, and not just basketball. You know, our conversations have evolved where we all, we all encourage each other business-wise. You know, what you're doing off the court. You know, how's business going? How's family? You know, different things like that. I think our conversations go to basketball last. You know, everything is more about, you know, evolution and business after basketball right now. But we talk all the time, man. We're encouraged by what everybody's doing, and, you know, we root for each other. Except for when we playing. I went root for him in the finals last year. Now, we don't root for each other all the time.
Right. Hey, so from where you're sitting right now, where is the Atlantic Ocean? Point to it.
I think it's back there somewhere. Okay. And I ain't pointing at my fish tank, but I think it's back there somewhere.
Udonis, it is great to see you. Recently made a kid's day who was suffering from cancer, and you became friends with him and have been very supportive of him. We had Greg Olson on yesterday talking about children's hospitals and relationships. Tell me about your story.
I mean, the good thing about me being an OG and just being around all these young guys is I continue to evolve. So I've learned how to use Instagram where I can find anybody. So this kid, Michael Kramer, who was a huge, huge Heat fan, and, you know, he was just dealing with some issues with cancer. And, you know, I'm going through Instagram one day, and I see this kid who every day is getting up and he's working out, and he has his Heat jersey on. And, you know, when he first started working out, you know, he was a great-looking kid, you know, muscular, surfed a lot, and, you know, I noticed his routine never changed, but physically he changed a little bit, you know, due to the cancer, but his routine never changed. He's still working out every day. He's still smiling. And that was encouraging for me. I think people always look at us as athletes and they're encouraged by us and, you know, they want to do what we're able to do. And, you know, sometimes people don't know, like, who do we talk to? You know, who encourages us? And it's something as little as that. And somebody like Michael just encouraged me. And I reached out to him and let him know that I was encouraged and I wanted him to keep doing what he was doing. And, we had an opportunity to meet, took him to Pagani, you know, he jumped in a $4 million Lamborghini, wasn't mine, I can't afford it, but he jumped in a $4 million Lamborghini, he rode out with a professional driver for the day, we spent some time together, and I just wanted to put a smile on his face, and I told him, he keep working out, he get himself in shape, and when he gets out, we're going to go surfing, and I'm going to do it.
You're such a good dude, man. 18 years. You really are a good dude. Love having you on the show. You're always welcome. I don't know what you're going to do post-basketball, but just keep in touch because we just think the world of you, and you've been such a good ambassador for the league. And I love the story that you walked into the league and Pat Riley scared you. I love that.
I was a little nervous from Pat, man. I hate to tell people that, but it's the truth. I was a little shit from Pat. I mean, I was a godfather.
Yeah, I saw him at a fight. I saw him at the Conor McGregor fight years ago, and he was the best-looking guy at 65 years old I'd ever seen. He was in incredible shape. He scared me. Totally.
He's sharp.
Yeah.
He's sharp. All my aunties love him. All my aunties love Pat. Yeah. They don't even come to the games to see me. They come to the games to see Pat.
Udonis, thank you. It's great seeing you, my man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.